He who saves one life saves the world entire. And the most important life to save is your own. After all, it's the place where you have the most power. So join shadow worker and trauma therapist Laura Giles each week on It's Not You, It's Me. We'll uncover what's in shadow and learn the things you need so you can heal yourself, grow yourself, know yourself, love yourself, be yourself, and share yourself. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, it's time to drop the self-sabotage and limiting beliefs. A healthy, abundant, connected life is an option. Choose it. Subscribe, and let's start manifesting it.
Authenticity is your gift to the world. When you show up in your divine fullness, your life becomes a wild, connected adventure that blesses not only yourself, but everyone that you encounter. And that's why my guests share their stories, to inspire you to heal, grow, know yourself, be yourself, love yourself, and share yourself. And today, my guest is Lynn Rivers. Lynn Rivers is a functional health and wellness expert and educator. She teaches people all over the world how to take their health into their own hands. Her educational background includes holistic and functional medicine, microbiome therapy, spiritual counseling, Eastern and Western massage therapy, neurolinguistic programming, yoga, life coaching, death doula hypnosis, and human design analysis. But before all that, she was just a little girl. Welcome, Lynn Rivers.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here with you.
Yeah. So you really have an interesting life story. So can you tell me what your childhood was like?
Yeah, it was interesting, to say the least. I grew up in a fairly dysfunctional family and with an alcoholic father. And I was sick the majority of my childhood. I had pneumonia when I was 1 and 3. And I really actually like to tell this story because it's really poignant to what I ended up coming into in my life. And when I was 1 and 3, we have a tendency to take on words as feelings at that age, right? Instead of understanding the words. And I was terrified of the word love, because when I was tied down in incubators, my family, when they would say, I love you, it came out in a fearful way. And so I naturally took on the word love to mean something really bad. And so as I got older, you know, 4 or 5 years old, and was able to hear it and understand what they were saying, I would cringe. I would lock up, my body would tighten, and I wouldn't say I love you back. And that for me as a child was a really traumatic thing. And so when I turned 8 and my grandma was in the hospital, she was in her hospital bed, and I wrote her a little note and I said, I love you. For the first time in my life, I said the words, I love you. And she died right after I said them. So as an 8-year-old, our brains are actually, they have a narcissistic tendency. We think that everything happens because of us or to us at that age. And so I thought I killed her. So I shoved that down so far, and I would never say I love you again after that. Even when my mom died at the age of 15, I wouldn't say I love you to her. And so I grew up with this fear of, okay, love equals death. And then on top of that, the majority of my family died before I was 15 years old. And they had reached a really beautiful, you know, moment of their life where they had a great family, the job of their dreams, whatever, and they would die soon after that. So then I equated happiness equals death. So love equals death and happiness equals death, the two things you should enjoy in life, I was terrified of. So I went through childhood, you know, my biggest memories was driving around with my dad when he was drunk, you know, going home from parties and him swerving over the road and my mom holding me just out of fear. And those were my kind of childhood memories, and seeing my grandma fall in front of me and being 4 or 5 years old and not being able to do anything about it. And I just was really programmed with all of these fearful memories that I can't even remember happy memories as a child. And then it evolved into me being sick as a teen and me being suicidal in my teens and 20s and having endometriosis and hormonal imbalances and constant migraines, and it just cascading into adulthood. And so it was really this, I actually almost didn't graduate high school because my childhood just like programmed me into this fearful space of actually being happy. So I was always constantly sabotaging myself in a lot of different ways, being at bars by the age of 17 and hanging out with really bad people. And so it was a really bumpy first half of my life.
So as a trauma therapist, I understand what you're saying about how you made those connections as a young person that love equals something scary. Mm-hmm. Can you say how you end up making that conscious for yourself?
Yeah, so it honestly wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I was able to really push through that, because I understood, you know, early on in my 20s that when I said I loved you to my grandma and she died, that it was so beautiful for her to hear that she was able to release, right? It was a gift to her. And so I understood that in my early 20s. However, I still did not like saying the word love. Like, it still carried this deep feeling within me. So every time it was said, I just felt that same trauma come up. Mm-hmm. And I realized I needed to push through it when my grandpa, who was the only person left in my family, was dying. Well, I shouldn't say that. He was in the hospital and I thought he might be dying. And I had this realization, like, I want him to know that I love him. Like, because it registered to me, if you love someone, let them know, right? Like, I understood that concept. And so I eventually said, I love you to him when I was on the phone with him. And it took so much for me to do that. I started crying because of how hard it was for me to get those words out. And I was like, okay, but if he does die, at least he knows that I loved him, because it's the only time I ever said I love you to anyone. So, you know, it was a really profound moment. And I think it was releasing that fear, though, that really, he didn't end up dying. So it was really beautiful. And then I kept practicing the word love. I kept practicing, like, okay, every time I hang up the phone with him, I'm going to make sure he knows that I love him. And it got better, you know, but it was a really difficult thing to work through. Even the first person that I actually loved in a relationship, I knew I loved them because I would not say the words, right? Everyone else, I could pretend like, oh, I love you, and just use the words easily because it wasn't actually true, because I was constantly attracting in people who were just, you know, just continuing a pattern for me. And so it wasn't like an actual thing. But the second I got into a relationship, I was like, oh God, like, they just said, I love you, and I cannot say it back. Let me sabotage this, because this just feels too good, you know? And so it was a bumpy ride trying to actually navigate that. But eventually, as long as you're working through it, right, and understanding it and moving forward, you eventually come out of it.
So what was the catalyst for you to get on the road to healing?
You know, I think that started at the age of 15 when my mom died. And it was just asking the bigger question already at that point of, why are all of my family members dying? And what can I do about it? And that for me was the aha moment of, I need to figure out why this is happening. There's a bigger message to this. And it was actually the first time that we had AOL dial up at that time, you know, and I still remember like taking forever. And I was like, okay, something's telling me to Google about a natural solution, because I had kept going to the doctors for an infection that kept coming back over and over again. And I was like, there has to be something better to this. Like, they just keep giving me these antibiotics and it just keeps coming back. And at that time, I knew nothing of the natural world. I didn't know that there were alternatives, because in the 80s and 90s, you were told, listen to your doctor, they know better, right? And so you just followed it. But I just had this divine download. Maybe it was my mom, who knows, right? But I got online and I searched for a natural solution for this infection, and something popped up and I'm like, you know what? Great. Let me try it. I mean, nothing else has worked, so why not? And sure enough, it went away within 2 days and it never came back.
Wow.
And that for me was there's something to this and I'm going to figure this out. So that was actually the point where I started getting locked into the passion of wanting to get better and actually heal, not just keep masking the symptoms and them giving me antidepressants and all of these things. Yeah. And I ended up getting rid of my asthma soon after, which, again, the Western medical system was like, oh, you're just going to have this the rest of your life. You just have to deal with it. And I was like, oh, this is game on. I'm going to find out how to actually heal and to help other people heal. And that's where it really started, but it didn't take off until I was probably about 24 years old and really stepped into functional medicine in a much bigger way.
Okay. So imagine all those antibiotics destroyed your guts.
Oh, you have no idea.
So tell me a little bit about that healing journey.
So honestly, that is what started the majority of my problems, right? Because I was on antibiotics as a baby.
Yeah.
And on steroids, on all the inhalers and all the medications for asthma. And they didn't understand what it was doing to our gut at that time, right? They just thought like, oh, here, take it like candy. Like, oh, you have an infection? Here's this. Here's, you know, and it did. It damaged my gut very early on. And so I had behavioral issues as a child. I had all of these different symptoms and all of the hormonal imbalances that I had early teens that stemmed from my gut being dysbiotic from all the antibiotics. And unfortunately with the gut microbiome, so for people who don't know what that is, we literally have trillions of bacteria and viruses and fungi that live in our gut, and they're mostly beneficial for us. But when it gets dysbiotic, meaning out of balance, so many different symptoms can happen. I mean, we're looking at over 90% of disease stems from our gut, right? And so as an infant taking antibiotics, which destroys your gut microbiome, you grow up not being able to digest certain food, not being able to process certain things, and your body's just not able to function the way it should. And we have millions of nerves that come from our gut to our brain. And this is where we need to be looking for mental health, because that is literally what made me sick my entire teenage years, having suicidal depression. That was what stemmed it, right? I didn't need to be taking antidepressants. It wasn't a neurological condition. And no one knows about this. Like, we're still barely touching the surface of getting this information out to people. And so it did. It really just, that's where it started, from infancy all the way to my late 20s. I had gut dysbiosis that was causing all of these problems. And when I finally got it in check, everything disappeared. It wasn't just my physical symptoms. It was like, oh, this is how I'm supposed to feel on a regular basis. It's okay to be happy and healthy. And like, it was a really big moment.
So I think there's a lot of people who, especially of a certain age, where they did hand it out as candy and didn't think about it. You know, you have a cold, here's some antibiotics, even though that doesn't help. So I think there's probably a lot of people who grew up with it and don't know that it's not the way you're supposed to feel, because they've always felt like this. So what are some of the telltale symptoms that, oh my God, I need to get my gut looked at?
Exactly. I mean, the majority of the population has some form of gut dysbiosis. That's the sad fact, right? And there are healthy people out there who didn't have to take all these antibiotics, you know, but for the majority of us, if you grew up in those ages and you had vaccinations as a baby and you had all of these things that were destroying your gut microbiome, yes, like, that's going to carry over and it is going to affect you. And the reality is, we're looking at some species not being able to get them back, right? And so the symptoms you want to look for, I mean, any kind of mental health disturbances, whether it's constant depression, even if it's intermittent depression, yeah, it's so hard to say like one symptom, because it's everything. Do you have digestive issues? Do you constantly get colds or flus? Are you, you know, one of those people where you're low on energy all the time and you just feel like you need to pick me up, or you're drinking coffee constantly, trying to stay awake? It's all of these things that literally every symptom that you can imagine can be stemmed back from the gut. Even if we talk about diseases like MS or Alzheimer's, dementia, all these other big diseases are what they're calling them, but they're actually symptoms to an imbalance in our system. And so you can look at anything. If you have something that does not make you feel good, let's look at the gut first, because the reality is, dysbiotic gut leads to a leaky gut, which means you have your tight junctions that should be nice and tight and not letting particles into your bloodstream. When that happens, all of these food particles, like neurotoxins from plants even, which is a huge topic that I go into, seeps into your bloodstream and cause so many neurological conditions. And we're not aware of this. We're not talking about the plant foods being a lot of the harm that's caused to our body. So there's so much to it.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy that we're not talking about this, because in a lot of ancient medicine, so Greek medicine, for one, the first medical thing they look at is the gut. Everything revolves around digestion, constipation, diarrhea, digestion. So I think it's crazy that Western medicine does not go there.
It's baffling. It's ridiculous, to be honest.
So you have a new course about this. Can you tell us about that?
I do. Yes. Yeah, so it's actually a functional medicine course. So it's actually mind, body, spirit. We talk about the mentality, the mindset mentality, because if you don't have the mindset to get better, then you're not going to, because you're always going to be searching for problems instead of solutions. So we actually work through that part, a bit too. But otherwise, it's literally $50. So people can have access to learning about their body and what it actually means to be healthy and why so many people are getting sick. It's literally uncovering the root cause to the majority of illness in our society. And it's everything you need to know: cellular functions, what your organs are doing, what they need in order to process, food sensitivities, chemical sensitivities, the whole nine yards, and all the simple solutions that you can utilize in order to get better. And I'm doing this because my own healing journey, obviously the Western medical system wasn't going to be able to help me, but even other functional medicine practitioners, I'd go in and I'd be like, okay, I'm missing this piece. Can you help me? And they'd be like, no, but you just gave me a lot of new knowledge that I can take. And so I was like, okay, I'm an independent researcher, so I have to dive deep in order to get to a lot of the root causes that aren't being talked about. And so I have so much information for people that I know that they haven't heard, and it's going to be like the game changer for them to actually get better.
That's awesome. I think that people do need to know how to take care of themselves, especially in a day where it's not like 100 years ago where you go and pick a tomato and it's just a tomato. There's all kinds of toxins all over everything. And doctors don't know. They just really don't.
Right. No, they don't. And the bigger piece of it is that if thanks to importation, we have access to all of these other foods that we would not normally. And that's not a beneficial thing. That's actually really detrimental to our health because of the plant compounds that are their natural protection to not be eaten. Those aren't meant to be eaten in large quantities. On an ancestral diet, we hunted more than not, right? We had a bigger source of protein. Every once in a while, we'd find berries, we'd have a carb, and we had a more balanced meal. But our body has to break down those plant compounds, and salicylates are one of the plant compounds that are actually directly linked to autism, to suicidal depression, eczema, all of these other physical symptoms. And it's because we're eating them in large quantities when we were never meant to do that, right? We weren't meant to have all these things coming to us that aren't in season. We're meant to eat seasonally. We're meant to eat like as with earth, be part of nature and how it functions. And we're not doing that anymore. And so people's bodies are being backed up with toxins. It's like if they're not processing their food correctly, they have constipation, that backs up even more. And so all of these compounds are building up, and your liver's like, sorry, I can only do so much. I have to push this out. Gets into your blood system, and no wonder why we have so many diseases. It's like there's all these things that we're putting in our body that it's overloading it, and you can't expect much more.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Lynn. That's I think great information. I think everybody, like I said, needs to know how to take care of their body, because this is not 100 years ago. It's a
No,
whole
it's
different
not.
game. So how
Yes.
can people find your course and you?
Yeah, so you can actually go to www.linrivers.com, and it's LINN rivers.com. And I have my pre-launch up there right now. Again, pre-launch is $50. And I'm also making a documentary, and that's about to start the funding process. So there's going to be more information on that as well. And I do offer mindset coaching, which is also available on my website too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help the podcast thrive, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from Laura Giles, you can follow her on all her socials at Laura Giles 804. See you next time.